from D. James Kennedy Ministries. This is Kennedy Classics. Welcome to Kennedy Classics.
Hello, I'm Frank Wright. Welcome to Kennedy Classics, a viewer-supported outreach of D. James Kennedy Ministries. I'd like to invite you to visit our ministry website, where you can find a rich selection of free digital audio, video, and print resources. You can find it all at djameskennedy.org. Most of us have heard of Murphy's Law. The shortened version goes something like this: if anything can go wrong, it will. Perhaps you've felt like that on occasion. I know I have. But you may not be as well acquainted with some of Murphy's related propositions. For example, there is Murphy's first corollary, which goes something like this: left to themselves, things tend to go from bad to worse. I think I've been there a time or two. Or consider Murphy's second corollary, which goes like this: it is impossible to make something foolproof because fools are so ingenious. Well, all of these expressions are conveying the notion that things often do not work out as originally planned or intended. Civil government is actually a good example of that. God created civil government for our good, largely to protect our lives, our liberty, and our property. But fallen men and women populate all governments, and history shows that when they exceed their legitimate authority, the inevitable outcome is something to be feared. Here is Dr. D. James Kennedy with his message, Government, a Fearful Master.
Our scripture lesson this morning is taken from the 13th chapter of the Epistle to the Romans. Here in this great chapter of the New Testament, Paul gives us the New Testament teachings concerning government. May we hear carefully the word of our God. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. And may God's word speak to our hearts and minds this day, and may his name ever be praised. Amen. Government, said one, is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. Those words were spoken by George Washington, and the government about which he spoke was the government of the United States of America. Government is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. I think today that we've lost sight of the real significance of those words spoken by our first president. The founders of this country were imbued with a biblical concept of government. because they're thundered forth from the pulpits of New England and indeed from all of the states, the great teachings of the Word of God concerning government. Today, however, I'm afraid that these pulpits have been mostly silenced about these things, and consequently whole generations have grown up without the foggiest idea of what God says about government, even indeed with the arrogant assumption that God has said nothing about government, and indeed he better not. But those that founded this nation knew that God had had a great deal to say about government. And the type of government that they attempted to establish was a government which was built upon those principles found in God's Word. They knew, for example, that the Bible taught that man was basically evil and that he needed certain restraints, and therefore government was a necessary evil, but it could be a very dangerous master. This viewpoint, however, that man is evil and needs restraint has almost been obliterated today by the humanist teaching prevalent in our schools that man basically is good. However, to understand the truth of the fact that man is sinful, one not only may read the New Testament or the Old Testament, but simply look at the front page of the paper or listen to the 6 o'clock news, and he will see abundant evidence of the truthfulness of the Word of God, which says that the heart of man is desperately evil. The founders of this country knew that because of the evil nature of man, that power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And it was because of this understanding derived from the Scripture that the federal government was separated from the government and power of the state. It was because of this biblical understanding of the sinful nature of man that the powers of the federal government were separated from the powers of the state. And the powers given to the federal government were specifically enumerated and were limited. It was because of this same belief that even the powers of the federal government were divided into three parts, the executive, the legislative, and the judicial, in order that no great amount of power might collect in any one place. It was because of this same belief in the sinfulness of man and the need for his restraint and the corrupting power of sin that the presidential veto was given to be a counterbalance to the Congress, and the Congress was given the power to remove certain areas from the purview of the Supreme Court, all checks and balances because of the biblical understanding of the sinfulness of man. And thus all of the powers of each of the branches of government were strictly limited because of their understanding of the scriptural viewpoint of man. We have forgotten today the warning of our first president that government can be indeed a fearful master. In fact, in recent years, we seem to be rushing to give the federal government more power and more control over our lives. At least until the last few years, this had been the direction that our nation was going. Have we forgotten that it is government that has been the principal antagonist against the people of God down through illimitable centuries? Have we forgotten it was the tyrannical state of Egypt that brought the people of God, the ancient people of God, into hopeless bondage and sorrow? That it was the agents of Pharaoh that laid upon the backs of the people the cruel scourge and caused them to work in the slime pits to make bricks for the Egyptian buildings? Have we forgotten the state of Assyria, which led the northern kingdom of Israel into captivity, that bound them out on the ground and flayed them alive or impaled them on pointed sticks? That it was the government of Babylonia that led the southern kingdom into 70 years of captivity and destroyed the city of Jerusalem and the temple of God? Or have we forgotten that it was Rome that actually crucified Christ and also drenched the earth with the blood of the early Christians? gave rise to the saying that the blood of martyrs is the seed of the church. And for 300 years, one wave after another of persecution swept across the church, directed by the government of Rome. Whether it's the Caesars of Rome, or the modern governments of Nazi Germany, or the communist tyrannies of our present day, all is the same. It is government which has been the principal antagonist against God and His church. China, under Mao Zedong, attempted to destroy every single Christian that they could discover and lay their hands on. In the Soviet Union, Solzhenitsyn tells us that 50 to 60 millions of people were killed, including millions of Christians, by the communists there. So whether we're talking about Nazi Germany or communist Russia or Poland or Czechoslovakia or China, we need to remember the words of Washington that government can be a very fearful master, and that the only hope of true liberty is eternal vigilance. As I said, according to the scripture, government is a necessary evil. The text that we read today contains several important truths about God and government, which were clearly understood by the founding fathers of this nation, but which today have been greatly obscured and blurred so that many people do not understand them. The first one is this: government is under God and separate from the church. This is the biblical understanding of the matter. Today we hear a great deal about sovereign states and sovereign nations and the sovereign power of governments. But my friends, you will read the Constitution of the United States in vain to find any use of the word sovereign. For the founders of this country knew that there was one great sovereign, and that was the sovereign God, and that all nations and states were under His authority, that He was the sovereign ruler over all, the King of kings and Lord of lords. They knew that what rights we as America had, we received from this divine Creator, and that the rights that we had were merely protected by government. They were endowed by our Creator. Today there are those who, instead of seeing both government and the church as separate and under God, there are those who would see government over the church and God contained within the church, or God perhaps not existing at all. And they would see the church as under the authority of government. This is a far cry from the view that was held by the founding fathers of this nation. When government is seen as sovereign and not under and responsible to God, then rights are no longer bestowed upon people by a sovereign creator. They are bestowed by the government, and the government which bestows the rights with one hand may withdraw them with the other, as they constantly do among tyrannical nations, as is constantly done among communist nations today. Once we lose sight of God, inevitably we will lose our divine and inalienable rights which we have received from Him. Another similar error today is that government is secular, that it has nothing to do with God or His Word. Such a concept was totally alien to those that founded this country. The only secular state of which they had ever heard was that which came about through the French Revolution. And this, to them, was a horrid debacle, a terrible tragedy. And certainly they would never have thought of trying to emulate this abomination which had taken place in atheistic France. Our fathers, on the other hand, knew that they were establishing a nation under God, a nation where men had rights that were endowed by God. That is what they meant, and that is what we must hold on to today. We need to remember that the church has been ordained and established by Jesus Christ. It has been given its license to carry on its work by the very God of heaven. It is not, therefore, subject to the state to get its approval to do that which God has commanded it to do. A second great truth taught in this passage that we read today is that the purpose of government is justice. As we read, he is a minister of vengeance upon those that do evil, and he is to restrain evildoers. However, that is no longer the case in the opinion of many people today. The purpose of government, as many see it today, is not merely to maintain justice and restrain evildoers in order that citizens may live a free and unrestrained life. In the 20th century, we have come to look upon the government in an entirely different light. There's an old French proverb that says that a nation will not long survive after its citizens begin to think of government not as a watchdog to be fed, but as a cow to be milked. And so what we hear today is that the purpose of the government is benevolence. Now, that is a very pious word, and it would seem that no one could speak against it. And yet, that is not the biblical teaching concerning government. The Bible is filled with benevolence, but it is not state benevolence that is being spoken of. It is individual benevolence. The purpose of the government is justice, not benevolence. Why is that? In order for benevolence to be benevolent, there are two things that are necessary. First of all, it must be voluntary. If I approach you with a gun and demand your wallet and then give it to somebody else, you cannot go away and say that you have given your money to the poor. I took it away from you at gunpoint, expropriated it, and gave it to another. There is no meritoriousness at all in what you did. In fact, there is no merit in what I did either. What I did was simply robbery. Now, when that is done on a national level, then government, instead of practicing justice, which is to give everybody that which is his due, which is his right, government enters into the realm of injustice. Since government has nothing of its own, if it is going to give something to somebody else, it must first of all take it from another party. And therefore, it enters into the realm of plunder. This is what socialism really is, legalized plunder. Now, I think we need to have someone that has the courage to stand up and say that today, that it's precisely what is happening in our country today. And this is why there is so much clamor about government today. Everybody is clamoring to get something out of the government. Now, if the government were simply in the realm of justice, there would not be all of this rancor and all of this division and all of this hostility and clamor going on about justice. Everybody is trying to get to the spout in order that they might receive something from the national cow. Alexis de Tocqueville, the famous French philosopher, came over to this country in 1830 and wrote his famous book, Democracy in America, and he said in there something very, very significant for our time. He said, America will last until the public discovers that it can vote for itself largesse out of the public treasury. Largesse, of course, being bounty or money. Well, my friends, the public has discovered with a vengeance that it can vote for itself largesse out of the public treasury. And those who haven't discovered it for themselves, there are eager demagogic politicians who are making it known to them day by day. Even the government itself publishes booklets telling people how much they can get out of the government. We seem to have forgotten completely what John Kennedy said when he declared, "Ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country." Well, today we don't have to ask what our country can do for us. The government will provide us a booklet which will spell it out in many pages with charts. So I would ask you today, my friends, if it is true, as de Tocqueville said, that America will be destroyed by people voting for themselves largesse out of the public treasury, what are you doing? Are you rushing to the trough, demanding to get yours, asking for more and more, screaming if the government, in an attempt to reduce deficits, cuts off some program that gives part of that largesse to you? As long as we have that sort of an attitude, this nation is imperiled. Is our government a watchdog or a cow to be milked? Thirdly, and lastly, our text teaches us that government is a terror to evil works and not to good. And that, of course, is the way that it should be. But today, we see that because man basically is evil, that an increasingly secularized and godless government is becoming increasingly a terror to good works. We've already mentioned how many hundreds of cases there are right now where Christian people who have simply tried to live quiet and peaceable lives to bring their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord have found themselves thrown into jail and harassed by the government, a government that is determined that it is going to be sovereign over the church and over God Himself and will indeed brook no limitation of their powers. I would urge that all of you write to your congressmen and senators and tell them that you oppose any legislation which would place the church or church institutions under the authority of the government. But since man is basically evil, we need to remember that our liberties, as fragile as they are only going to be ours as a result of continual and eternal vigilance. Government is a dangerous servant, said Washington, and a fearful master. But there is another master, a master who is not fearful but faithful. And I refer to our master, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the only and great and eternal potentate. He is the one to whom we should utterly yield our lives. He is the one who will never act unjustly toward us. He is the one who will never be a terror to the good. He is the one who indeed will reward us for our faithfulness in return. He is the one that we can trust, a one who loved us even enough to die on Calvary's cross, that we might have the free gift of eternal life if we would trust in Him. Incredible as it may seem, dear friends, heaven is free, paid for by Christ, and offered to all of those that will trust in Him. He is a faithful master, and we can look to Him. We can trust Him for our daily needs as well. I would ask you, do you look to the welfare state or to the provident God to provide your needs? Do you trust in the Lord? Do you believe that He is able to provide for all of your needs out of His riches in glory? If you don't, then your life is filled with unnecessary anxiety because you've never learned to trust in Jesus Christ. So I would urge you to open your heart to Him, to invite Him to come into your life, to be the sovereign Lord and Master of your heart, to take His place, His rightful place on the throne of your soul, that He might exercise His dominion and sway over your life. His banner over you is love, and what He plans for your life is naught but good. Ah, dear friends, trust in the King of Calvary, and He will bless your life. a very faithful master indeed. May we pray. Father, we thank Thee for the great truths in Thy Word, truths that not only deal with our own personal relationship with Thee and our walk in families, but also truths that outline the very nature of our governments and the responsibilities and duties of those that hold office. We pray that Thou wilt bring this land back unto Thyself, that we may repent of our sins, and that Thy Word may again illumine and enlighten the hearts of men and women in this country, that we might live godly and holy lives before Thee in freedom and peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
When Dr. Kennedy asked whether you had yielded your heart to Jesus Christ, I hope your answer was a resounding yes. Praise God if it was. But if you haven't yielded your life to Christ, you can and should today. You see, heaven, eternity with God, is an absolutely free gift that was purchased for us by Jesus Christ when He died upon the cross. He alone lived the perfect life and then willingly went to the cross to die in our place. We may not like to think about it, but we are all sinners in need of a Savior. And thankfully, we have one in Jesus Christ. He came that we might enjoy life to the full now and forevermore. Would you like to know for certain that you have eternal life, that your sins are paid for? If so, we can go to God in prayer right now saying, Lord Jesus Christ, please forgive me for my sins. Cleanse me and make me brand new. I want to know that full life that you have come to give so that I may know peace and joy and contentment. Please enable me to live for you from this day forward. Thank you for the gift of eternal life. In your name I pray. Amen. I hope you prayed that prayer, and if you did, we'd like to help you get started in your new life by sending you Beginning Again, a book written by Dr. Kennedy. You'll be enriched spiritually as you read these pages. To receive Beginning Again, just write to our address or call our toll-free number. God bless you as you do.
In an era in which a self-professed socialist can be a major party presidential candidate and even win a fair number of delegates, it has never been more important to understand the danger of an overweening state. Many young people today simply do not understand that danger, but they need to. If you know someone who needs to see this message, we will send you a copy of today's program on DVD or even on CD as our thanks for your generous donation of any amount to the ongoing work of this ministry. Simply write to us at Box 6087, Albert Lea, Minnesota, 56007. Or call toll-free, 888-633-1728. Or go online to djameskennedy.org. Your donation will also help us continue broadcasting powerful biblical messages like this one to as many people as possible. I'm Frank Wright. Thanks for joining us on Kennedy Classics. We'll see you next time.
This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.